Well, good morning to each one of you. Seems like it's been such a long time since I've been here. You probably are wondering if I still show up or not, but I do. And it's good to see Laura Yoder here again. Welcome. Well, thank you, Gary, for that devotional. I think it fits right in with what I want to share this morning. Well, this morning I want to talk about freedom, and what do you think of when you think of 4th of July? You think of fireworks normally and freedom, us. Thinking of the freedom of our country, and I'm very, very grateful and thankful that we have the freedoms that we do have, that we can worship God how we see fit and not how the government sees fit. But along with fireworks, there's late nights. So I'll make a deal with you. If I see you sleeping, I'll just call your name out. Or if you don't want me to call your name out, you can come up and stand with me. It's usually not a problem to sleep up here. So if you're starting to feel sleepy, it's one or the other, I guess. So, freedom. What does a world, or how does a world define freedom? Or what do they think of as freedom? They view freedom as is nobody can tell me what to do. I'll just do whatever I want to. Or I can look and act like I want to. If I want to look and act like a cat or a dog, then I will look and act like a cat or a dog. Or I can say whatever I want to. It doesn't matter if it's a lie about you, if it hurts you or not. I can still say it. You can't tell me what I can say. I'll just say it if I want to. And the list could go on and on and on. But let's bring it closer. Let's bring it more personal. So often our own selfish flesh wants to do the very same thing. The flesh tells us, do what you want, when you want, how you want. If it feels good, do it. But is that what God is telling us? Or what does God view freedom? And I thought, just what Gary shared in the opening, the only way to freedom is by what Jesus did on the cross for each one of us. And thank God that he saw fit to die for our sins and to give us that freedom. In Galatians 5:1 says, and this is the NIV, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So he has set us free. He wants us to have freedom in him. But what did he set us free from? Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, let's start at verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Then let's jump over there to chapter 2, starting at verse 18, to the end of the chapter. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Now this is freedom. And as the saying goes, they were as free as a bird. They could do whatever. Everything was theirs to enjoy. They had that personal relationship and communion with God all the time. Here was true freedom. But let's go on to chapter 3, starting at verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and with her he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree wherein I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Bondage, shame, remorse, guilt. Now the desire or the need for freedom starts. But in verse 15 that says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." So here's the hope of freedom once again. So what do we need freedom from? In the Old Testament, we can see time and time and time again how the Israelites sinned against God. And another nation came and took them bondage, took them into slavery, and how they needed to turn back to God, seek forgiveness, repentance, and have that freedom again. And so that's what we need freedom from. We need freedom from sin, which is so much more important than freedom from just the bondage of, or the physical bondage. But freedom from sin in Romans, are back up a little bit. There's only two places for us to be with this, I think. It's either we are currently bound by sin, or then we have been bound and are free from it. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." None of us have escaped it. All of us have sinned. All of us have been in bondage at some time in our life. All of us need the freedom that only God can give us. In Proverbs 5:22, this is the NIV, says, "The evil deeds of the wicked ensnare them. The cords of their sins hold them fast." So sin truly does put us in bondage. It holds us fast. It binds us up, and we cannot have that freedom that we need with sin in our life. Let's turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, starting at verse 33. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin," or in other words, a slave of sin. "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." So there again we can see, as in verse 34, whosoever committeth sin, in which every one of us has committed sin and is a servant or a slave to it. Now let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Starting at verse 13, says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Or in the NIV it says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, rather serve one another humbly in love." Then verse 4 says, For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if he bite and devour one another, take heed that he be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that he would. But if you be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. For the works of the flesh, and here is the things that we are used to be in bondage to, and that we need freedom from. For the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We all deserved to die, but it's only by God's grace and his mercy that he extended that freedom to each one of us. He wants us to be free. And I thought the Sunday school lesson went so well with that. Like, God provided, in his mercy, he provided those six cities of refuge to those people that needed it. And he still today provides that refuge to each one of us if we just call out on his name and believe in him. So what does freedom look like, or how do we obtain it? I think the first thing we need to come to realize and understand is that we are or were captive to something. We need to recognize what is holding us captive. We need to recognize what is taking away that freedom from us, what we are enslaved to. Romans 3:23 once again says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all of us, each one of us, has been held captive by something. And it probably looks somewhat different to each one of us. Each one of us struggles, in a sense, with different things, but all the same things. There's a whole list that we read there in Galatians 5 of just the different things that will hold us captive. In 1 John, let's turn to 1 John 1. First John 1, starting at verse 8 there. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So once again, all of us need to be set free. And you might look over that list in Galatians there and say, well, I'm pretty good. I haven't done a lot of these things. And that's something the Lord has been really working on in my life. I always knew I needed a Savior, but I always thought, you know, I'm pretty good, that I haven't done all these bad things, you might say, in quotations. I didn't kill anybody. I've never been in drugs and alcohol. But with the help of God, my flesh just stinks, right? Our flesh, your flesh. What about self in my life? Pride. And the list could go on and on. So none of us gets away from it. All of us have sinned. All of us were in bondage. All of us needs freedom, and freedom from Christ. And then when we see where we have sinned, when we see where we are being held captive, we need to repent. Let's go turn to Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, or the forgiveness of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then over there in chapter 3, verse 19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Then also back in Acts chapter 17, verse 30. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, here Paul's talking, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So here Peter and Paul is calling all of us to repentance. All of us need to come to that place that we seek repentance and are freed from the power of sin. And then after that, forgiveness. We need to understand that God has forgiven us, and also that we have to forgive those around us to have that freedom of God. And John, our 1 John 1, 7 and 9 says, "But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." In verse 9, it says, "And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Colossians 3:13 says, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." So we need to have faith and realize that God has forgiven us and to hold on to that. But then also, we need to forgive those around us so we're not in bondage and slavery to unforgiveness. We have to forgive as well. And then the next one kind of goes with that. We have to trust and rely on God. We have to trust that God has forgiven us and understand that he is not a liar. Numbers 23:19 says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" Somehow, some way, Satan just has a way of discouraging us, trying to tell us we're not good enough or that we can't be forgiven. But God said, and God will forgive us. Believe him when he says he has forgiven us. And Psalms 103:12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Can we trust that? And then another thing is, don't turn back. When you have tasted that freedom, when you have been set free from those chains of sin, guilt, don't go back. Galatians 5:13 says in the NIV, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedoms to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Luke 9:62, "And Jesus saith unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Don't look back. Trust God. Then let's turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. It's just another warning to, when God has forgiven you, when you have tasted that freedom, don't go back. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, They are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So don't turn back to the bondage of sin. We are all living in a fallen world. None of us are going to be completely free till we reach that shores of heaven. All of us are being tempted. But in Christ, there is freedom. Revelations 22, 1 through 6. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielding her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were of the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. So that is what we have to look forward to. True, lasting, evermore freedom. No more temptations. No more bondage of sin. True freedom. And praise be to God that he had mercy on each one of us, that we can, each one of us can have that freedom. John 8:36, I quoted it before. But if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for showing us mercy and grace, that you provided a way for us to have freedom. And we just thank you for that. I just pray that if there's anybody here that don't have freedom, Lord, I just pray that they would come to you, that they could see the bondage, and that they could repent, and that they could just have that freedom in you, Lord. You are the only way to freedom. The Lord, or the world, tries so often to show us different paths or tell us that we can have have freedom in different ways, but Lord, we know that you are the only way to freedom, and you are freedom, Lord. So we just thank you for that. Thank you for each one here this morning. I pray a blessing on each one of their lives. Pray that you would just guide and direct each one. Just give us wisdom that we may live our lives in a way that glorifies and honors you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.